Today's scripture passages make it look like you have to be good at math to understand the ways of God, and especially to know how to receive his greatest gift, his mercy. At the halfway point in Lent, we really do need that understanding. What are we doing during this time if not turning back to God, falling on our knees, and asking him, like the first servant in Jesus' parable, for patience and mercy, which he already wants to give us? Azariah summarized the state of he and his people as he compares his own state to the sacrifice, or the need for sacrifice, to tens of thousands of lambs. And Jesus tells a parable of debt forgiveness that looks like it will take knowing calculus to figure out. In high school, I figured I was good enough at math to consider a career in a math-related field. But at university, I felt somewhat overwhelmed by that next level of calculus and algebra, and I ended up going in an entirely different direction. Now, that may have had a little to do with the lack of the right attitude towards study on my part, but that is also the point today. It's not really about the numbers, is it? It's about our attitude before God. Consider these two events from sacred scripture and see if they relate to us. As is often the case, Peter takes leadership on behalf of the apostles, and he asks on their behalf the question about forgiveness. The way he phrases the question is actually very good. He already knows that you have to forgive more than once. In fact, he uses the number 7, indicating completeness of forgiveness. 7 is the number of creation, the completeness of creation, including the 6 days of creation and the 7th day of rest and worship. So Peter's question is both practical and it's theological. He's got the basic math correct. But Jesus wants to stretch Peter's understanding. He wants him to go to that next level. You are on the right track, essentially, he says to him, but there is more. It's not just 7 times, it's 77 times. I like another translation better. I think it comes closer. It has Jesus saying, it's not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That's 7 times 7, 10 more times. So to illustrate the quality and the magnanimousness of this gift of forgiveness, Jesus tells the story, familiar to us, of a king and 2 servants. Spoiler alert, the king is God and the servants are us. The debt owed by us to God is in the order of 10,000 talents. Now, you've maybe heard these analyses before. Talents is the largest coin denomination in the Roman Empire. Not too many will ever have even seen one. Each talent is worth 6,000 denarii. And so if we do the math, 10,000 talents times 6,000 denarii is 60 million denarii. It's a ridiculously huge number on its own. But then if you compare it with what the one servant owes the other, 100 denarii, the difference is, and I made a mistake in my math initially, I said 60,000 to 1. I said, that's not right. It's actually 600,000 to 1. You can check my math after. I could be wrong. But that's the point. We do not have to be good at math to realize that God is offering us an unbelievably greater amount of mercy to us than we could possibly ever be asked even to offer one another. That's why if we are serious about our return to God, we need to appreciate that God's mercy to us is without limit. Nowhere in our earthly experience can we receive the measure of mercy God is offering to us at this moment, at this very moment in our Lenten journey. The hard part for us is not how we can come up with the payment, it's whether we will humble ourselves to ask. And the second requirement from the parable follows from the first. It says that the king released the servant from his death, from his debt. It's a kind of a freedom from a great burden. Knowing how much of a burden of the debt due to us because of our willingness, because of our sin, we cannot receive that mercy unless we are willing to offer it to those who are in debt to us, to release them from that burden. It's not a math problem, is it? It is the law of mercy. Understanding our need for mercy, receiving it, and then offering it to others. This is not easy, of course. It may be the hardest thing we can ever do, to forgive. That's why it begins with a contrite heart, a humble spirit, which we can do, we can offer. If we won't, if we will refuse that, we will essentially be responsible for our own torture until we can pay every last penny, which we already know, don't we, is impossible. So that's the hardest part of the math. It can overwhelm us, or we can turn back to God and ask him to give us the grace to do for others what he wants to do for us. In the book of the prophet Daniel, Azariah admits that he is in the fire because of the sins of the whole people. We have been brought low, he says, because of our sins. We have lost everything, prophets, leaders. We can't even properly plead for mercy because we have no place to make an offering and no access to the tens of thousands of lambs that it would take under the law. All we have is the knowledge of our sin and our need for forgiveness. Halfway through Lent, Azariah's prayer could be ours, both as individuals and for the people of God. Israel had become despised by the nations, and so it is today with the church. We are brought low because of our sins. People want to leave the church because of the loss of its reputation. But when the people of God, us, become humble, God pours out healing and mercy and renewal. At its best, even the secular world recognizes that forgiveness is not easy. One of the points in an article I read on the topic recently reminds readers that forgiveness is a process. And for us, Lent is that process by which we, little by little, turn our attitudes to contrition so that we might receive that impossible forgiveness of God. What's asked of us? We have to ask for it with contrite spirits. We also have to give it without holding back. These are the keys to our salvation. At least, that's what the math says.